This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Frank and the gang are off on vacation. Kyle and Tim are here in the studio with me. Those are the Raspberries, a perfect lead-in to my next guest. His name is John Wilson. 35 years ago, he said, well, we've got the Academy Awards for the best in movies. Where are the awards for the worst in movies? And since the Oscars were covering one end of the spectrum, he created the Golden Raspberry Awards to cover the other end of the spectrum. And with the Oscar nominations coming out tomorrow morning, well, today, John came out with his nominations for Worst Actor, Worst Actress, Worst Picture, and several other categories. And I've asked him to join me here today and talk about it. John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Let's get right to the nominees for Worst Picture this year. But before, I have to say I am shocked that the name Adam Sandler does not appear anywhere on this page.
Well, actually, he is. He did. He's just at the bottom of the list, which I suppose is where he belongs. He did get yet another, I think this is his 23rd or 24th nomination.
Wow.
For the picture he did this year with Drew Barrymore, Blended, and she is a Worst Actress nominee for that.
Wow. I didn't even know that they did a movie together this year. That's how unaware I am of where Sandler's career is at this point.
Yeah.
All right, so what are the nominees for Worst Picture?
All right, we have some obscure ones and some great big box office hits. It's a nice balance this year. Among the obscure ones is the film currently rated as the worst of all time on the IMDb, literally number one on the bottom 100 list, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Which looks like it cost about $30 and probably didn't make its money back. Left Behind, which, interestingly, is a remake of a movie Kirk Cameron already did 10 years ago. This time it stars Worst Actor nominee Nicolas Cage as an airline pilot whose entire crew and most of his passengers are taken to heaven by rapture as he's flying over the United States.
Wow. Was this actually projected onto a screen in a major movie theater in the country?
My guess would be the one place they didn't show it was on an airplane.
What has happened to Nicolas Cage's career? Here's a guy who, you know,
I'm not really sure. I have heard that he's gotten into trouble with the IRS, and to pay off whatever he hadn't paid years ago, he's having to do everything they offer him. Given this movie and the fact that he had two other films this past year that were so good they weren't even released.
Wow.
Yeah. He's in the cinema turlet. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, once he played the guy on fire on the motorcycle, I said, well, that's pretty much it for this guy's career. Ghost
Rider.
And I believe
he was nominated for both versions of that. Continuing down the list in more ways than one. The Legend of Hercules, I have to say that's my favorite bad movie of the year. I went to see it on a matinee, and everyone was mad because I was laughing all the way through it. It's an actor who played one of the vampire brothers in the Twilight movies. His name is Kellan Lutz, and it's not a coincidence that it rhymes with gut.
Uh-huh.
He's this great, big, lunky, dunderheaded guy that he's sincere as heck, but he couldn't act his way out of a litter bag.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have an unnecessary remake called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I guess a lot of our voters are, I don't know whether it's old enough or young enough, to remember fondly the old cartoon series on which this is based. This time they stuck Megan Fox in there, and she's back with another nomination in Worst Supporting Actress. And then rounding out the group, the number 5 box office grosser of the entire year, 11-year-olds must have all seen it 23 times, Transformers 4, The Age of Extinction.
With the emphasis on stink.
We stress that syllable in our press material. This is the fourth entry in a franchise, 3 of films from which have been Worst Picture nominees, one of which won a few years back. I think it was the second one that won. They all kind of are the same thing, just over and over and over again. And I personally find the blatant product placement of Chevy cars and trucks in the movies just a bit insulting.
Yeah, well, you know, product placement is endemic in the movie industry, but in that one, I didn't even see the movie. I saw the commercials. I mean, you know, the trailers and the commercials for it, and I said, all right, that's over the top.
And then this one has, they've gotten rid of Megan Fox, was the gal who was always washing the car in short shorts in the earlier films.
Yes.
She apparently had an argument with Michael Bay, the director, and she's been replaced by an actress who has already won a Razzie. She was in Last Airbender, our worst picture winner of about 3 or 4 years ago. She actually is not recognizable from that. They've bleached her hair and put about 5 pounds of Maybelline on her. And, yeah, if you were deaf, she looks good.
All right, now I've got to ask you about three movies that were on my personal worst movies of the year list. I put together my top 10 at the end of the year, and I had to have an accompanying bottom 10. And the three that would be at the top of my bottom 10 list, if you were, it's hard to think in negative terms here, but with these movies, I did. They didn't make it for worst picture for you, but I'm guessing that they were up for other nominations. One of them has to be the Seth MacFarlane movie, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
It just missed. We have about 757 people who were eligible to vote. It, in almost every category where it isn't listed, it came in a close sixth. But it is, he's nominated for Worst Actor. Charlize Theron is nominated for Worst Actress. He's nominated for Worst Director. And I believe, let me flip over to the page where I've got that listed. They together are listed for worst screen combo.
Oh, that's one of the categories that you have.
Ignored.
Yeah. Okay, then there was another one, and this may have, I'm going to guess this is also up for worst screen combo. Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel in Sex Tape.
Yes. Worst screen couple, and then she was actually in three films this year. She's up for worst actress for both Sex Tape and a supposedly romantic comedy she made called The Other Woman. And then she's up for Worst Supporting Actress for playing, I think she's Miss Hannigan in Annie, the remake of the old Kitty musical.
Oh, that's right. Okay, and the other one that was in my worst three list was the Kevin Costner movie, 3 Days to Kill. It's funny because Kevin just came through St. Louis. He's promoting his new movie, Black or White, that I think is going to open up this weekend. And I guarantee you no interviewer had the balls to ask him about this piece of dreck that he... It came out in January of last year, as we know. January is kind of a dumping ground.
Is when they dump the crud. I think it's interesting. Another one that's opening, I think it might be this weekend. I was surprised that they don't tell you this, but Nicole Kidman is in Paddington, the one about the fluffy bear.
Uh-huh.
Costner's picture was the 3 Days to Kill. We have on our website a forum where we encourage members and the general public to bring things to our attention. There was a fairly lively discussion of 3 Days to Kill at the beginning of the year, but sadly, our voters, just like the Academy, they tend to remember the stuff that came out in the summer or at Christmas. So it was very clever of them to release it in January, I guess.
Well, it slipped in and out of the theaters very, very quickly. Now, I'm curious, in all the years that you've been doing this, John, obviously there are names like Transformers or Adam Sandler or Kirk Cameron or others who are repeat offenders. Are there any particular repeat offenders who are among the Razzie nominees this year other than the ones we've mentioned?
Well, Nicolas Cage has become a perennial. He hasn't yet won. And then we have a new award this year, speaking of perennials and repeat offenders. We're actually making the point that some people can and have come back from being a Razzie target. We call the award the Razzie Redeemer. And a bunch of the people here, there's 5 of them, all of them have either been multiply nominated or won Razzies in the past.
Okay,
I have to say, it's quite impressive that Ben Affleck went from Geely to Argo and Gone Girl.
That's
a pretty long stretch. Jennifer Aniston may be nominated for an Academy Award tomorrow for Cake, and she's already a SAG Award nominee, which means that her peers as actors were impressed.
Now, which of her performances got her Razzie nominations or even wins?
She has not won. She's been nominated 4 times. She co-starred with Adam Sandler in a remake of Cactus Flower called Just Go With It.
Yeah.
And then she was in this awful thing with, I think his name is Gerard Butler, where they were a divorced couple and he was a bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And he threw her in the trunk of the car and drove across country.
Yep.
she has done more than her share of not very good movies. One person everyone is surprised has not won a Razzie, and this year he actually made a good movie, is Keanu Reeves, who did a thing called John Wick that actually just won a Golden Tomato Award as one of the best thrillers of the year.
Really?
On the Rotten Tomatoes website. And then the other one that people are surprised made a good movie, she was nominated almost every year because she was in a Twilight movie almost every year.
Uh-huh.
Kristen Stewart, known to the hoi polloi as Bella from Twilight, made an art house movie called Camp X-Ray that got excellent reviews.
And I know somebody else you have on that list. The fifth nominee is Mike Myers. Who,
oh, yes, I did.
Everybody remembers him from the Austin Powers movies as both Austin Powers and Dr. Evil. But he made a movie that I'm sure is the one that got it got the Razzie for him, and that had to be The Love Guru.
Yes, Mike Myers is a very talented actor, but he actually, other than Love Guru, he also did one of the worst children's book adaptations I've ever seen in my life. He played the title role in a live-action version of The Cat in the Hat about 8 or 9 years
yes.
ago.
Yes, oh, wow, I forgot about that.
But yes, my very favorite terrifying moment for a movie investor, I went to see that on matinee with my son, who was about 6, and he hated it, too. But 10 minutes into it, a whole row of kids sitting in front of us were on their cell phones calling everyone they knew, telling them how horrible.
Wow. You're the target demo, kids. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I don't think Mike Myers has done much of anything good in quite a few years, but I saw the documentary that he produced last year called Supermensch.
That's what we're referencing as his having bounced back from being a Razzie target. It's a very small film. It's a very personal film. I can't remember the name of the man who...
Shep Gordon. It's Shep Gordon, who is a producer and...
He might have been an agent.
Yeah.
An agent.
He might have been.
Yeah, and what works about it, what's interesting to me is when these people care about the thing they're in as opposed to caring about the paycheck that comes along with it, a lot of these people are capable of really good work, and, you know, we're more than happy to bring that subject up.
Yeah, this movie that Mike Myers made about his friend Shep Gordon is remarkable because Shep Gordon's life is remarkable. This is a guy who at one time was working with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. He managed Alice Cooper's career for several decades. He worked with Blondie and Anne Murray. How do those two fit in the same room? Luther Vandross. And he also produced Kiss of the Spider-Woman, which I think won an Academy Award for William Hurt. So,
yes,
I mean, it's a remarkable story, and Mike Myers actually proved himself to be a good documentarian. I'll recommend people get it on Netflix. It's called Supermensch. But talk about redeeming yourself. Yeah, I know Gigli to Argo is a good thing for Ben Affleck, but for Mike Myers to go from the Love Guru to Supermensch, that's quite a turnaround too, John.
Well, and Myers, I have to say, I have always thought his work as the voice of Shrek was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Myers is not somebody that you can say, oh, he doesn't do anything but bad stuff. No, he's done, and to me, that's a bigger disappointment when somebody's done great work and then they turn around and do The Cat in the Hat. Or The Love Guru, I have to say, it just fell flat. I saw it in a theater the weekend it opened, and I don't even think there was more than 10 chuckles the entire time it was running.
Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible. Here's how bad it was. I watched it for free and turned it off in the middle.
I want to throw in my favorite Razzie joke. The way you can tell you're seeing a Razzie movie is when they're showing it on an airplane and you still think about walking out.
All right, so we've talked about the nominees. Transformers Age of Extinction has the most Razzie noms this year with 7. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas has 6. So does The Legend of Hercules. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 5. Left Behind, a small movie that you mentioned before, has 3. The horrible Million Ways to Die in the West has 4. We didn't talk about The Expendables, the third movie in that one, which got 3 nominations this year.
Well, and they're all in the same category. This is a series of movies that I'm convinced. I did see the first one. I haven't gone out of my way to see the ones after that. But I'm convinced that Stallone made the first one as a serious action-adventure film. And when audiences laughed at it, suddenly, oh, yeah, I meant it to be that way. And the gimmick is he gets together a group of people over a certain age who used to be action stars. And this time he lured Arnold Schwarzenegger back, who's nominated for supporting actor. He got Mel Gibson for the first time. And also in it, and in three other really dreadful movies, Kelsey Grammer, the guy that used to be Frasier.
Yeah.
He's in that. He's in Legends of Oz, which is that awful animated Wizard of Oz movie.
Uh-huh.
He's in a blaxploitation movie called Think Like a Man 2, and he also is in Transformers 4, or as we call it, Trannies number 4.
A big year for Kelsey Grammer and the Razzies.
Working a lot.
Yeah. Now, last year when we talked, John, I asked you if the award ceremony, which you do the night before the Oscars, was going to be televised. And you said, not this year, maybe next year. Okay, well, it's next year now. What's the story?
Well, we are being courted by a cable network for next year. They came at us too late to put everything together. But we are doing a really big show this year. We're in a huge theater on Vine Street just below Hollywood Boulevard called the Montalban. It is named for Ricardo Montalban,
really?
Character actor.
Wow.
And we're inviting people from all over the place. For the first time, we're inviting the public to sit in on the show. And I think we're going to have an awful lot of fun, and I'm curious to see, once we know what has won the Redeemer Award we were talking about a moment ago, whether that person will show up or not.
By the way, you have had Sandra Bullock and Halle Berry show up to accept their Razzie Awards, right?
And those clips are available on our YouTube channel. I think it's about 500,000 people have watched Halle Berry's speech, and about 250,000 or more have seen Sandra Bullock.
Are you going to at least stream the ceremony this year, even if you don't have a TV deal?
We don't know yet. Somebody may come up with a way to do that for us. There was one year that we were the first award ceremony to be streamed live by cell phone. That didn't really work terribly well, I must
say. Now, for my listeners who may want to vote on any of these, the only one they can vote on is this Razzie Redeemer Award, right?
Yes. The poll went up this morning. It's at Rotten Tomatoes. And the other 9 or 10 categories, they could vote on if they wanted to join and become members. Part of the benefits beyond the ballot is you get a shot at a couple of seats to see the show. Now, there usually are more people who want to come than we have seats, so not everybody gets in.
Yep.
But it's a lot of fun. You get to be a part of the forum and make fun of these movies and actors all year long.
Do you get to touch an actual Golden Raspberry Award?
If you're at the show and you're close enough to the stage, sure, why not?
And that, by the way, is valued at almost $5, that award. So
yes, yeah. We have had to up it over the years from $4.79 to $4.97.
John, it's always great talking to you. The award ceremony will be the night before the Oscars for the 35th annual Golden Raspberry Awards, a.k.a. the Razzies. There's the guy behind it, John Wilson. Thanks for joining me today.
Sure, I enjoyed this myself.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.